Talking about she want a massage though, or whatever. Shit, she need to redeem herself from that black slave joke before she get a fucking massage up in this bitch. Cause now if I do it, she really gonna be like, "See, got your ass, didn't I?" They're like, "Oh hell no, you don't." Exactly. Exactly. Whatever. Get Cody to do it. He looked like a house Negro. He's light enough. He can do it. I can see you now in the house Negro get up. Looking like Samuel L. Jackson at the end of Django.
Yeah, be utterly fucked up.
People, welcome to Movie Spoilers 118. Cody's like, "You recording, nigga?" Movie Spoilers 118, sponsored by Fandango. Of course, I'm the phenomenal one.
I'm Cody.
And we got a lot to talk about today, man. We got a lot to talk about. Of course, we're using Skype, bitch ass again. Mm-hmm. This is early right now, people. And to hit into our, my favorite segment now is, what are we drinking? Cody, what are you drinking this early in the fucking morning?
I am drinking a nice glass of Arrowhead water.
Oh my god, you got a glass? How many ice cubes?
I got about 3 ice cubes.
Wow, spoken like a true alcoholic right there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I got a nice tall glass, big boy glass, 3 ice cubes as well. I learned from the best. Of cranberry juice, of course, obviously. Mm-hmm. Jason was like, "You got all this cranberry juice in the cabinet." He was like, "Is that because you got some infection going on down there or whatever?" I said, "Well, if I did have that, it's gone by now because I've drunk so much of this shit." So. I think I'm the only motherfucker to go to the bar and say, "Just pour the cranberry juice in there." Yeah. "Don't you want water instead?" "Nah, I want that juice you got in there." Shit.
"What about cranberry? I don't
want to
fuck with you."
Yeah, that cran. "Don't give me that fucking cran raspberry shit." If you are a man and you are in the grocery store shopping, make sure you read the goddamn labels, because I have fucked up on plenty of times of doing that by getting some cran grape or cran ras bullshit or whatever, where I actually wanted the fucking regular cranberry juice. Why they put them so close to each other, I have no idea. But it's insulting, because men don't read shit. Anyway, we got tons of questions, at least enough of them. Box office talk, obviously, Blu-ray releases, and trailer talk with probably my most anticipated film of the summer. That's Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Is that up there for me?
Yeah, and after seeing the movie, I can tell you it should still be up there for you.
Okay.
Cody's like, "I don't believe a damn thing he said."
Like I said, man, I can go to these movies nowadays with a clean slate, hyping up. Downplaying it, just going in neutral. That's what I do.
Did you say the same thing with Transformers?
No, because if I gave Michael Bay 3 goddamn chances already, so ain't gonna happen.
But there was a writer's strike on the second one.
Right.
No, there's a writer's strike on that whole goddamn series.
Writer's strike in their fucking brain. Anyway.
Michael Bay is the writer's strike. There you go. Oh, beautiful Michael Bay. But anyway, let's go ahead and get up into some of these right here. I'm just gonna as we start getting into some of this shit, I'm going to start deleting some shit off my laptop here, just in case, because I still haven't cleaned my hard drive, but whatever. First question comes from Daryl. He says, seeing how you guys think The Raid 2 is the greatest action movie ever, what are some action flicks that need to learn from The Raid series? You think The Raid 2 is the greatest action flick ever, Cody?
Yes.
Yes, same here.
Yes,
so,
I do.
Daryl is correct then by presuming that. Oh, I got one. Fast and Furious. That franchise definitely gonna learn from fuck.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Yep, that's one that comes to mind. Let's see. Hell, like I was saying, like get evidence to direct a Batman flick, like a Batman.
Mm-hmm. So, do you think the Batman movies fail when it comes to action?
Well, if it comes to hand-to-hand fighting, absolutely. I have never seen a convincing Batman fight on screen yet. The only thing that came close to it was probably the Bane sequence and the Dark Knight Rises and the last chain fight with Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that's come close to being decent.
And even that train fight with Ra's al Ghul, that one was like, it kept going back to him and Commissioner Gordon, so it was like chopped up as well. Yeah, so.
That's pretty tough. So, like I said, Batman is this big badass martial artist, and that is not going to cross any of the films.
That's why I never wanted to see Joker in the film. Because I was like, well, because after watching Batman Begins, I was like, alright, dude, I want to see this dude go hand-to-hand. Because that training montage was fucking phenomenal. I was going to say, that's probably one of my favorite parts of the whole series, to be honest, is just that training montage. I love that training montage when he's just following Ra's al Ghul and just learning the methods and shit like that. I was like, this is what I wanted to see out of a Batman flick here. And when I found out Joker was going to be in the next one, I was just like, well, that's not a hand-to-hand combat. I'm like, when is he going to get this guy? So when Bane was introduced, I was like, oh, fuck yeah, we're going to get that now. I mean, what was the point of all this fucking hand-to-hand combat training if he ain't ever going to use it in this series?
Yeah, what do you does usually just look awkward as shit.
Yeah. So, I think it was Z. He told me, he's like, he had a hand-to-hand combat with Joker. I was just like, man, that wasn't no fucking hand-to-hand combat. Jesus Christ, man.
That was a fucking
fight. Yeah, exactly. I said, he dropped a net on Batman and sicked three dogs on his ass and shit. Come on, man. Wasn't no fucking hand-to-hand combat. It's like, man, your interpretation of these Batman films, man, you got me fucked. Shit, that was a hand-to-hand combat. I remember him throwing a hand at Joker, to be honest.
Nah.
Yeah.
Seriously, it was more of a fight between those dogs.
Especially when that first dude screamed. When that dog attacked. them dogs was the main villain in the movie and shit. People talking about how crazy Joker was. Yeah. Them dogs from the Transformers look like they were supposed to be the hyenas for Batman. Be like, the fuck is this shit? The Step Up franchise, they can learn from The Raid. They got
it.
Yeah, they got action, right? Yeah. The Die Hard could get in that territory now. Because they're still making them.
I think that's just, you know, saving at this point.
What's another action for? Oh, I got a perk one. The fucking Expendables. Yeah, because you brought it up about 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Oh, and actually, I brought it up and you was confused. PG-13 Expendables 3.
Yeah. I do not understand that at all. I mean, I already hate the damn franchise. And the only thing that maybe they had going for was the blood. And that's a big maybe. Mm-hmm. And now they don't have any of that. So I'm like, what's the point now?
What annoyed me about the franchise is that they were just using fake blood. I was just like, you guys grew up in the time where there wasn't the fake blood and shit. You knew the practical effects of it, and you're actually using the CGI fucking blood that just floats in the air and shit.
Yeah,
Now how you gonna get by it with PG-13 and all these fucking characters added into it now? That's the stupidest thing ever. It's not like, because the last two were rated R, and they both, and the second one made more than the first one. It's not like the movies were failing or anything like that, so why the fuck even remount to that act of PG-13? Is Sylvester Stallone trying to say, we have the tendency to make $1 billion here?
Oh, God.
I can tell you this right now.
He's not thinking that shit.
I can tell you this right now. If that ever happens, I quit reviewing movies.
Expendables is by far one of the worst franchises going today.
I agree with you on that one. Did you see the second one?
Yeah.
You remember when Stallone was running trying to chase John Von Claw down?
Yes.
That shit was so sad and embarrassing. I was just like, dude.
Oh my God.
Just stop, man. Stop running after him, please. Like, he was like, had a limp in his walk and shit. I was just like, oh my God, this is embarrassing, dude. Yeah, and then like hearing Bruce Willis and Schwarzenegger just repeat their lines back and forth to each other when they was just like, okay, goddamn, stop, please.
Yeah, man, fuck that franchise.
God, that was literally embarrassing. I was embarrassed for the motherfuckers. But Claudette, next question here. She says, seeing how you guys see many films a year, do you collect your ticket stubs?
Yep, I do.
Do you use it on an app or?
No, I just have a physical copy.
Oh, okay.
This is something I do. I've been there for a while.
I do not. I don't like keeping trash, so I just throw that shit away. I'm not gonna lie, I just trash that shit. I don't give a fuck. I mean, my reviews. Yeah, my reviews are my proof of what I saw. So I go back and then I go like, damn, I saw that many fucking movies. The only time I keep them is if I don't have the receipt to go with it.
Gotcha.
So I can turn that shit in for the invoice. So to make sure I just didn't pay for a fucking movie. Anyway. No, Claudia, I don't collect them. I wouldn't even know what to do with them, personally. I'd probably just go throw them in my spam. What was that, Cody?
No, I was going to say, yeah, I've been playing them for like a while now. Just something to do.
How long?
Just nostalgia thing. For about, I think my earliest one is the first Spider-Man.
I thought you was going to say The Raid 2. I was about to say, man, that ain't that long. That was like 2 months ago, man.
That's tomorrow.
That shit. You know, I just got into that when Spider-Man came out because I want to remember the bad shit I had to see. Damn, you said it's the first fucking Spider-Man? Jesus fucking Christ.
I don't know. I just said about those movie tickets. And I always like going to movie theaters and lately, I haven't been going as much as, like, I used to. But that's always just something I've been into. Can't really say why, but, yeah, I just collect stubs. Nostalgia thing, I guess.
I love going to the theaters for shit like IMAX, Edge Tomorrow, and shit like that. But I think I'm getting to a point now I'd rather watch it at home.
Right.
I think that's probably why you say you don't go as much. I think you watch a lot more at home, if I'm not mistaken, right? I mean, especially because a lot of people go like, P1, did you see something like Snowpiercer or something like that? I want to see that movie. I can tell you 9 times out of 10, that movie will be on Netflix in the next 2 months.
Right.
Because most of those limited films get on Netflix right away or whatever. So, you know, and then the big ones, the Blu-ray comes out nowadays like in three months now. So. So I can understand where a lot of people. I personally, yeah, I would prefer. I'm kind of tired of sitting in theaters now.
Right.
Wish they could just.
Yeah, especially you. You see like three to four films a week. So yeah, then it has to be.
Hell yeah! Shit. You know, you ever when you go into the theater or whatever, and for some movies like I don't want to see or something like that, I always think about like, I bet the same person that worked up here last week or whatever is here and probably seeing me and probably like, God, that guy has no life. Because he's too busy. Because that guy's trying to see. Yeah, because that guy's trying to see fucking Tyler Perry's Madea's Christmas and shit right now, whatever. So, you know. Yeah, I agree with you, though. I personally would prefer to stay at home. Like, if I could do this at home, I would see so much fucking more movies or whatever, except for driving, because you got to fit the screeners and your time schedule and shit like that, and then you got to worry about if your other host saw it or not. So if I was able to just watch it at home, it'd be a lot easier and better. And plus, I can just sit in my goddamn drawers and watch it as well.
Yeah. Around, I give it a fuck.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people say they like to do that because of the audience. The audience never really gets on my nerves. Mm-hmm. Only time I ever have a bad audience really is a Tyler Perry movie. that's really the only time I. And if you follow me on Twitter at MoviesPostPod on Twitter, you'll know what I'm talking about because I always tweet during those movies and. It's the most painful, embarrassing things of all time, whatever, when I see you Negroes getting up dancing and shit before the movie starts and shit. It's just like...
Yeah, people, come on. We gotta do better.
Yeah, please, man. Please. Like, Tyler Perry, you see what you created right here, right? Okay. It really is, man. It really fucking is. I'm glad you guys didn't join me for that Madea Christmas shit, because y'all would have... Yeah, well, you, especially, since you would have been the only other black person there, you'd have been like, God damn, I can't sit through this, people. I was like, movie ain't even started yet, bro. Shit. Where are you going?
Oh, man.
Next question comes from Rodrigo. Rodrigo! He says, why do you guys think Aquaman became a fan favorite if he's so useless?
What the fuck did he become a fan favorite, man? I don't get that sense anywhere.
I never thought that neither. I never thought that neither until I started seeing him show up as like, you know how they always have the actual seven? He shows up more and lately. I was just like, and then when you found out that there was a poll for it, if they wanted him in it, it was like, yeah, he keeps winning in the poll. I'm just like, who talks about Aquaman? Who are these people that are voting?
Yeah, clearly it just came out like out of the fucking blue, like all these diehard Aquaman fans, I guess. Like, I don't understand. There's nothing. About fucking Aquaman.
You know, the only time he does something in the comic books is when actually the Justice League had to go underwater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
How does that? Matter of fact, you know what? Just to cramp Aquaman in, it happened a couple of times. Let's just say this. It happened more times than it should have, to say the least.
Okay.
To the point where you said, okay, they're kind of crowbarring this in just to have Aquaman in.
Yeah. Yeah,
because
that's why I get the sense, why they casted Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
They're trying to get some Aquaman, some kind of street cred or something. That'll make him, a badass. Like, okay, yeah, I get that. Yeah, he's been, the redheaded stepchild of DC Universe all this time. So, yeah, I can understand why they would get someone like Jason Momoa to play him.
Green Lantern's like, I'm not the stepchild no more. Yay! He's like, when the fuck did the Flash become more important than me?
The Flash hasn't had a completely fucked up adaption yet, so.
Oh, it will come though. That TV series is coming.
Which I hear people keep saying, oh, pretty good, but. I don't know. We'll see about it. People said the same shit about Arrow.
Yeah, I was about to say. These seem like the same people that saw Arrow. I saw the trailer for Flash, and I was just like, looks interesting, but I don't know, because it's following that Arrow shit, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. the effects look nice, but like I said, I don't know.
Well, effects looking nice these days is like a stepchild that's actually your best kid, you know. So it's like, you know, that's almost true to happen these days, you know. I mean, effects should be like your last compliment of a film these days, or TV. Unless it's just like something that just blows other effects out the water or something, or like you liked how they did the choreography or some shit like that. Unless it does something technical-wise that's never been done in a superhero thing, then yeah, but the effects these days, if they look like shit, then that just means that studio wasn't trying or didn't give a fuck. So, what I was going to say is, who would you like to see instead of Aquaman?
Martian Manhunter.
Are they not doing him? Because I thought they were.
Are we talking about just like a straight up movie, or like Clint in that new Justice League?
Well, we're talking about in the new Dawn of Justice film.
Oh, yeah, Martian Manhunter. That's the only one that hasn't been rumored to be in this movie, so.
Wasn't he not rumored? I could have sworn he was, that he was rumored.
Oh, no. I mean, people had rumblings a while back, but no, there's like nothing since then, or nothing official came out.
Hmm. You know who I'd like to see? The Question. Yeah.
So I'd like Hoffman.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Actually, you know what? No, I would personally, instead of like Arrow and Smallville, I think people like The Question or whatever would have been made a better TV show, to be honest.
Yeah, TV. Yeah, Question for TV. I see that. That'd be cool.
That would have been a better, like how they got Gotham going. They should have did that with The Question, to be honest. It would have just expanded off DC's minor characters and shit like that. I just heard a recent rumor that said that they were gonna have what's his name in Dawn of Justice? Goddamn! How do I forgot his name? Doomsday.
Yeah, I heard that rumor. Yeah.
I was like, I don't know. Doomsday needs some setup here, because they were talking about he's gonna be at the beginning fight, and I'm just like, I don't know if I. Yeah, I was about to say, I don't know if I like that. I was like, Doomsday is a kind of a badass. He kind of, I would expect him to be the ending fight. That would make more sense of why this team came together. Yeah, maybe we should work for Warner Brothers. Like, start off.
Because I can see him in the Justice League flick, but Batman or Superman? Nah, that doesn't really make any sense.
I say. They do. If they don't go that way, they go with Brainiac. Have Brainiac be like the so-called, I guess, good guy at the beginning, even to where points he looks better than Superman. And then I guess he pretty much tricks every other superhero. Because I don't know if these people are going to be in costumes or not. I'm thinking not. But then again, I'm thinking they are, because he's talking about...
At least one of them is, but the other people, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure they're gonna change Aquaman's costume to some black shit.
maybe not, because Snyder, one thing he does, he is good at staying true to comics as far as costume designs and making it look cool.
I'm sure he's gonna turn that shit to black. Like, I'm sure he's gonna darken that shirt a little bit or whatever. He's gonna tone that orange shirt dark. So, I'm almost confident in that it's gonna be. A darker orange. He comes out in that bright ass orange, but they're gonna be like, God damn, he really is useless. But so I don't know if these people are gonna be in costumes or not, or I'm assuming they are, because we got an older Batman here, so unless these other heroes are just new in here.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm assuming maybe one or two more will be, and the other few won't. We'll see.
Because I don't think they said they was going to put Flash in the movie, have they?
I heard there was a rumor that you see, like, there's, like, a little Easter egg. We see, like, security camera footage of him stopping Prime, some shit like that. But that's pretty much it. Okay. Like I say all rumors, so I don't know what the fuck's true, what's not.
Okay, Warner Brothers, let me give you a tip here. Nobody gives a fuck about none of that, all right? So, Nobody give a fuck about no Easter egg about a major character that just runs and stops a goddamn crime and fast or whatever. Okay, shit. I'm doing that shit. Did that shit in Dark Knight Rises with that fucking R shaped as a Robin or whatever. Don't nobody give a fuck about that shit. Either put the son of a bitch in the movie or don't put him in there. Shit. Stop talking all this tie. Oh, we might tie him in with a Green Lantern flat. Nobody give a fuck about none of that shit. Damn, you do that shit with small characters. You don't do that shit with the bigger ones. Damn, you fuckers. Anyway, Cynthia, she says, what is the most unique and different kind of film you might have seen in the past 5 years? I got one. And I think I've said this even when I put it on my best of list. Her. Yeah, Her, I thought was definitely a nice little subtle sci-fi film where you introduce technology and this is a love interest. And they didn't really make that as a love. There was like some side notes here saying that it's more about the mindset of this guy and do we really consider our machines to be our loved ones and stuff, you know? So I really liked how they did that.
What? Go ahead.
Oh, no, I didn't say that. Go ahead.
For me is probably District 9.
Yeah.
Because I kind of like how they started out at the beginning. It was kind of like a documentary style, kind of found footage in a way.
Yeah.
Transition to traditional film.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of cool. And then, of course, the story, being a whole allegory for apartheid in South Africa. So that was pretty cool. That hadn't seen good sci-fi in a while up to that point. So that was refreshing.
Yeah, I want to say it was District 9 and then Her. Because Edge of Tomorrow brought it back, but didn't nobody give a fuck, so.
Well, you got an Inception the year after District 9, so.
Yeah, okay, that is true, whatever. I for some reason when Nolan does, I just don't consider it to be science fiction for some fucking reason.
Probably because he doesn't go too out there.
Yeah, he's so... I don't want to say the word subtle with Inception because it was far from subtle, but the shit was in a dream world everywhere. I don't know. It felt more realistic, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it definitely did.
I think that's what because in my sci-fi, I'm expecting things, I guess, like District 9 and fucking Edge of Tomorrow and shit like that, whatever, where like you see shit like that. But I don't know. It's just Inception. Now, granted, this shit ain't real, but. It I don't know, it just felt realistic other than the world's how they chill, going upside down and shit like that. So I think that's one thing about it, Nolan, is what I like about him is he makes things feel natural and real. I was gonna say District 9 also just the story itself. District 9 was an amazing fucking film. And you say just the whole how they did with the apartheid and all that shit. Not only that, though, it's also the first alien movie we saw where they didn't invade a fucking suburbs.
Oh, that is very true. It was that alien invasion film. That was crashing as well.
Yeah, they just fucking landed in Africa and then next you know they got invaded and shit. So, can I ask a question? Would you like to see a sequel?
I'm so happy. Just about to talk about that. Actually, I wouldn't, because like the only route I can see them go in is an actual alien invasion film, and I really don't want to see that, so.
I said that too. I don't want to see a sequel. I thought it ended just fine, and the only route, like you said, I could see them going is an alien invasion. The only way I could see a sequel happening is if they kept with the story of. Was it Wickus or Ickis or whatever his name was? Charlton Copley's character and his wife. So that's the only part. Because, like, at the beginning of the movie, you didn't give a fuck about Charlton Copley. He's just doing his job. He's kind of a dick. You don't know his wife that much or anything like that. But then, the end of the movie, man, you start really tearing up for it a little bit.
Yeah. Good emotional beats in there, man.
Yeah, so if they do make a sequel, which people I don't think they are, so you can stop talking about that. If they did, though, I think the only way I would still have the same emotion I did in the first one is if they carried that story even longer and more. You make him feel more for him and his wife.
Yeah,
But like you said, Cody, all I see is an alien invasion happening.
Right.
Oh, I got another one. About Last Night. It was the first black romantic comedy I saw that was actually good. That was unique to me.
There you go.
So, there you go. Aiden, he says, this was a great episode, and just got one question. Were you two Negroes eating that trailer talk? LOL.
That information is confidential, my friend.
Yeah, that's confidential, man. Actually, you know what? Because people don't know, but I had to edit that part or whatever when trailer talk came. And when I was doing it, that's when girlfriend brought us the shish kebabs, right? So, like, around take three, that's when you hear the... I hate this trailer. It was like, damn, that came out of nowhere, but okay. It's the magic of editing, though. Deborah Albert, last question I got here is from, she says, so have you guys decided what the official drink of the podcast will be, or is it anything that contains alcohol in it, LOL?
Yeah, pretty much, because I bring a different beer every time I come by, so.
I was going to say, you're half right, Deborah. Anything that contains 10% or more alcohol in it. There you go. That is the official drink of the stuff.
Not lying.
Exactly, okay? Shit. Don't do no less than 10%. 10% is for 11 o'clock in the morning. 1 o'clock, you need to be over 10% by then, so... Yeah, that's usually when we start, so. But right now, we're sensible. You ready to get in some box office talk, Cody?
Yeah. Let's go for it.
Because Skype is lagging like a motherfucker.
Yeah, dude. This is like a big-ass delay. I'm trying to roll with it, but damn.
Yeah, I'm trying to roll with it, too. I'm just like, phew. Got me cutting over a nigga and shit like that. Ain't that a bitch? Shit. See, people, this is why we hate Skype. the number 5 film, though. How to Train Your Dragon 2. Brought in $8 million. Almost $9 million, to be honest. Which is not bad for a number 5 film. Actually, and this shit's been in fucking the box office top 5 for what, 4 or 5 weeks now?
Since the beginning of June, pretty much.
Yeah, so, budget is $145 million. Domestically, $140 million. Overseas, $152 million. Worldwide, $292 million.
Still not doing great, but
it's gonna make its money back by next week. So I know DreamWorks was expecting this to have its money back by the second week. It's been 4 weeks. It's gonna take 5 weeks to get its money back. That's kind of sad when most of these openers blockbuster hits have been making their money back the same either the same week or the next week after. So. And this has not touched anywhere near what the first one made, so.
That's a shame, man. It's pretty good. I haven't seen either of them, but it's a pretty solid franchise.
Yeah. I think for me personally, it's definitely up there with the Toy Story franchise.
Yeah.
If they make a third one now. If the third one is just as good and hits those emotional beats, I really, the first one and the second one, I really like both of those films. I would even if I didn't see some of these limited releases, How to Train Your Dragon 2 would be on my top 10 best of list right now. So.
Oh, okay.
This one that came out the same week with it as it, which did 20 times better is, which is shocking because usually Fox beats Sony. That's 22 Jump Street.
Yep.
Brought in $9.4 million. The budget on that, Cody, was only $50 million. And it's already made more than How to Train Your Dragon 2. It has 158 million domestically, 69 million worldwide, overseas. Worldwide, $228.5 million.
Impressive for a rated comedy.
A good R-rated comedy for that matter, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Because how many fucking R-rated comedies came out last year that made my worst of list? I'm telling you, usually that makes my worst of list is usually comedies. It's usually these fucking horrible-ass comedies. It comes between comedy and horror. It's gotten to a point now where horror just, like, kind of rolls over itself, so they all just feel like one big... I think Lena did that, whatever. She just stuck all horror movies on her list as number 10 or some shit like that. She didn't even count. So I was like... so I was just like, yeah. So yeah, it's usually these fucking horrible comedies, but... This year, the only bad comedies I can remember... oh, never mind. I got three now. We'll get into that later. Yeah, I was gonna say, just Think Like a Man 2 and Ride Along, but and The Other Woman, but yeah, there's another one in here too.
Yeah, man, comedy and horror, those are definitely the hardest genres to nail, I think.
Especially comedy, man, because you definitely have to. If like if you're a comedy man movie and you don't make nobody laugh, you kind of failed at your job.
Oh, hell yes, this is my fucking point.
That's got to be like an automatic fuck it though, right? Yeah, that has to hit as an automatic fuck it. If not, the characters must have been good or something like that. Cause that other than that, if you don't make me laugh throughout the whole hour and a half or hour long the movie is, it's an automatic fuck it for me. Same goes for horror though. Like we were talking the other day, I don't think they give a fuck when they make horror movies no more because they can make them for so cheap that they just throw anything out there or whatever. Whether it's actors, the writers, anything like that, they just go like, just wing with it. People are going to come see it anyway, regardless of what it is.
Oh, shit. Yeah, teens, man, they love that bullshit horror.
Because, like once again, like we told a certain friend of ours, whatever, they stuck something fucking Trey Songz in a goddamn Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie.
Oh, God. Are y'all telling me about that line he had in that movie? I was like, or when somebody had in that movie?
Oh, it was one of his lines, don't worry. You were. That was one of his fucking lines. Oh, no, don't get me wrong. Yeah, so like, when you stick shit like that in a horror movie, because that's mainly who they go for now. Like motherfuckers that they know can't act or whatever, but they keep putting like singers and shit like that, or like hip hop artists or musicians and shit. And you just looking like, man, y'all didn't give a fuck when y'all did this, did y'all? Like. And the fact that people say that, like, Insidious and The Conjuring are the great horror film, just like, well, give me a fucking... If this is good, then it ain't good shit.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Insidious, man. That movie, I remember that movie pissed me off because I went to go see that with some friends. I was all hyped up for it because good buddy of ours, man, went by the name of Co-host. Hyped that movie up, remember? Hyped that movie up to be. He hyped that movie up to be fucking fantastic. Remember?
Yeah.
I remember that. I remember him and Corey had a little argument about that too. Hey, and then he even convinced him to like it or whatever a little bit. And I was just like, "Well, damn, this must be the shit here." And then I swear to God, after he told me there was no jump scares in this movie, people. He told people there was no jump scares. The first thing I saw was a shadow walking by the room. I was just like, okay.
You know, Co-host loves something. He really loves something, man.
Man, he really fucking does, whatever. Because I was like, goddamn, dude. Oh, yeah. Oh, don't even forget it's better than the sex rating for Oz the Great and Powerful. It was like, oh, okay.
Then you get a better still. Man of Sex, Dark Knight Rises, or
no? He said Man of Steel. I have to give this a full price. I have to. I'm like, why do you have to? I don't get that. He was like, I have to give this a full price though. High full price. I was just like, what? Why do you have to? I don't get that. Oh shit. when DC fanboys unite, baby. That was depressing. It's always depressing when Man of Steel gets defended. That's all that is. Really do, but your rating was bullshit that day. But it's always lovable when people defend Man of Steel. I've had about four people defend Man of Steel to me. It's I love it. I love every minute of it. It's just
that shit, man. Especially the second half. I'm like,
come on, anyway. I can't remember who I argued with. Whatever. I was just like, you couldn't see shit at the second half. He's just like, no, it's not true. I saw a lot of it. I saw a lot of action. I was like, you didn't see a goddamn thing, man. Come on, don't sit up here and tell.
Any goodwill they had,
throw that shit out the window. You know what he told me? He said, P1, you just blind. He's like, you sit all the way in the back and shit like that. I was like, brother, I have my glasses on, man. Come on. Man, come on, man. Man, come on, man. I ain't even mad at you for defending it, but don't sit up here and call me like I'm blind and lying. I'm just making up shit now, whatever. Just go, come on, man. Come on, man. You know damn well you couldn't see shit with that was going on in that film. Like I said in the review, I know why they stuck a red cape on his ass. It's because that's the only thing you fucking see in the movie, shit.
Oh, man. That's the greatest excuse ever.
And then every time I argue with somebody about Lois, they never gave me an answer for that. I was just like, so him and Zod flew around this whole city just smacking each other in the building, and Lois somehow just catches up with them in the end of the movie. I'm just like, don't nobody see a problem with Lois's character? They was like, I thought she was a strong, independent woman, P1. I was just like, okay, got there.
Yeah, for like 10 minutes she was.
Bitch was crowbarred into the film, alright? I don't care. She was just fucking crowbarred into there, whatever. Just fucking crowbar. I swear to God, that Man of Steel and Transformers, man, they have so much in common.
Yeah, she really was.
But whatever. The number three film, speaking of horror movies, Deliver Us from Evil. Deliver Us from More Bullshit is what I like to call it. I don't know the budget on this film, but it made $15 million over the long 4th of July weekend we had. $2 million overseas, so $17.5 million, which I'm willing to bet that's the budget of this film, because ain't a goddamn thing happening.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if the budget was higher than that. I don't know the budget of the film, but people, you can already guess what this is for me. That's a fuck it. Didn't like the movie at all, actually.
That's kind of a shock to me. It's another horror flick.
Yeah.
I've heard any good things about this movie anyway. So, hey, well, it is what it is, man.
Hey, well, the number two, if you thought that was something, is a comedy. We just got done talking about horror and comedy, and the number two film brought in $21 million over this weekend. That's Tammy, man.
Did you end up seeing this?
I walked out, but yeah. I walked the fuck out. I said, you know what? I'm not doing this shit no more. I'm taking the week off. I'm not doing this. So yeah. The budget on that was $20 million, which I don't know fucking why, first of all. And it made $32.9 million. And it's
honestly, I was actually expecting to bring it more.
I'm not shocked by that, because remember I told you well, why it won't make that much next week? Cause that motherfucking Transformers is still riding high. That's why.
Yeah, that's true.
So you know, people, Michael Bay was smart on that, releasing that the week before 4th of July with no big budget film coming out or whatever. Oh yeah, he. I was like, he has that seems to be in more in there, and they're gonna take away whatever. Cause usually, like you said, the Melissa McCarthy films, they do make more than that. But hey, it made its budget back in the weekend, but it was going up against a juggernaut, so. And how many times you can tell your kids on their 4th of July weekend, hey, you want to go see Tammy?
That's true.
No. Dad, I want to go see the fucking dude ride the dinosaur. For 5 minutes.
I swear to God, dude, that shit was so fucking stupid.
I will kill you. I'll take you all. Oh my God. So, speaking of Transformers, man. Transformers Age of Extinction, the number one film for the second week. 36.4 million on 4th of July weekend, my brother. Matter of fact, that ain't even 4th of July weekend. That's just the weekend itself. So, technically, if you want to add the 4th of July weekend into it, it made 74 million.
Wow.
So, 30 million for the weekend, and if you add in Thursday and Friday total, 74 fucking million. It's domestically is at $174 million right now.
Yep. Sounds like a Transformers film to me.
Overseas though, $400 million. Worldwide, $575 million on its second week.
Yep. It's basics.
Yeah. Budget on this was only $210 million. It's about to make that next weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, it should.
If not, it's probably only going to be like $10 million away or whatever, but it's going to make that next weekend. And you're gonna, because I wouldn't be shocked if it brought in another $15 to $20 million next week. Now, granted, $174 million ain't probably their real budget, but, you know, since Paramount is fucking everybody over right now. But by now, I'm pretty sure it is somewhere close to that amount, though, so. You know, we had another new release as well that didn't make that top five, my friend. Yeah.
The Spielberg flick, right?
Yeah, well, the J.J. Abrams flick. The ripoff of a J.J. Abrams. The ripoff of a ripoff. Yeah, the ripoff of a ripoff. That's right, yes. From Spielberg to Super 8 to Earth to bullshit. I mean, Echo. Which came in at number 6. Mm-hmm. Brought in $8.2 million.
Okay.
Which, I'm trying to find the
budget on this flick, do we?
There's still no budget on this flick, whatever. You know, Relative Media said, we'll give Disney $20 million for this flick, and we'll probably make that back. Yeah, Disney's probably laughing right now, saying, you goddamn idiots! Because it only brought in 13.5 with the 4th of July weekend, which really isn't shit, so. Uh-huh. Yeah, a PG movie about some annoying little kids and a robot, E.T., I mean, Echo. Don't nobody give a fuck at this point. And I think I remember even we said this last week. One of these movies is going to fail bad.
Oh, yeah. Sure enough.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so those are the failures of this week. Oh, and Transformers, of course. I don't know what to label that in.
That's shit.
That's a whole other thing. I swear to God, if Transformers is next week instead of Dawn of the Planet of the Apes number one, I swear to God, I'm going to be fucking pissed off.
Man, it's not going to happen.
Don't jinx that, man. Don't say that.
See, it ain't going to happen.
I like how he said, like, I just told you, P1, what are you, deaf, nigga? It ain't going to happen. Why you being retarded right now, huh? People, I said it ain't gonna happen. Shit. You ready to get some Blu-ray releases now, though?
Yes,
sir. One of my favorites of the year that I think I put on my best of list for Under the Darkness episode. Under the Skin, a Scarlett Johansson sci-fi film.
Okay.
So people, like I said, see people.
Should I recommend this one?
Yes, I would recommend this one. Very slow film, though. If you're not really into slow films, slow-paced films like that, then I wouldn't recommend it. But if you don't mind those, whatever. I don't know how you feel about watching those at home compared to in theater, so.
Yeah, I feel much better watching those at home.
Yeah, because me, I like the slow-paced film. That's why I think Locke and this actually were on my best, because I actually enjoy watching those slowed-out, paced, methodical films and stuff.
I don't mind them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would recommend it if you're into that kind of stuff. If you're not, then don't worry about it. Or if you just like looking at Scarlett Johansson, you can look at her for about an hour and 48 minutes, then that's fine, too. So... And the last one we have here, which I remember giving a mighty old fuck it to because it was the most boring thing I ever saw. Rio 2.
Oh, damn. I forgot that came out.
God damn, this movie was so fucking boring. And people, you know me. On animated films for kids, especially if they're rated G, I give them passes. I usually give them a little shit because I always say, like, well, they made these for kids, whatever, stuff. So, like, they got enjoyment out of it. But, man, this one... Man, that shit sucked the soul out of my ass. I was just like, yeah, Jesus Christ. I was like, fuck. Yeah, I was like, usually I can go along with these goddamn things, but fuck, man. I was falling asleep and shit. I was like, shit. I think I stayed more awake in planes than I did in this shit. And I know why, too, because planes had a fucking simple-ass story. It's just, this plane... wanted to be a fucking a race plane and win a race. That's it. There's nothing else to that film, whatever and shit. So basically, you just watching a race. That's it. In this film, oh my gosh. There's so many whiny little elements of this.
So I was going to say, it's needlessly complicated.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there you go. It's simple. It's only an hour and 25 minutes. It's straight to the point. This one was an hour and 45 minutes of watching Jesse Eisenberg like a little bitch. Just like, okay, all right. So, yeah, you ready to get into trailer talk with the only movie that matters of July?
Please do.
The only movie that matters of July.
Please, please.
People, we're talking about Dawn of the Planet of the Motherfucking Apes right now, god damn it. Look at that monkey.
Family. Future.
That monkey acts better than Melissa McCarthy does.
Another way. War has already begun.
Woo! That's a badass trailer.
Man. I gotta keep my expectations tempered, man. But damn, am I excited to see this movie.
As you should be. As you should be. As you should be. That's all.
I hear people who are like putting this up there with like the Dark Knight and the Avengers and shit. So I'm like, wow.
I always hate those phrases because somebody told me, yeah, man, Man of Steel is like if you combine the Dark Knight with the Avengers. And I was like, oh, shit, I get a badass movie or whatever. And then I was like, yeah. So now you can see why I was, now you see why I was so angry at that film. Now, I was expecting some Avengers Dark Knight. I was expecting the great teamwork of the Avengers of a comic book hero film with the great story of the Dark Knight. I'm just like, I didn't get either one of those. That's all I'm saying. Man. But I will say this, though. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is continuing that sequel trend of July, of June. Well, actually, it's July now. Of June that I said with, like, How to Train Your Dragon and 22 Jump Street. It was that goddamn good, I must say.
Looking forward to it, man.
And I gotta say, that trailer, man, that monkey acted better than Melissa McCarthy has ever did in her whole career.
So, I don't want you to spoil over you anything, but did you walk away from this one not understanding why Andy Serkis not getting nominated for anything?
I walked out that they compared monkeys to black people, but other than that, that's about it. Nah, I'm fucking with you. Yeah, I personally think Andy Serkis, man, I think he should definitely get nominated. I don't know why we're treating that, or they need to make a category called the Andy Serkis Award.
Thank you, man. They do need some type of fucking recognition, man, because goddamn.
That man has added more heart in that monkey than I have seen in regular human beings or whatever. So, and plus, I hear he's going to be in Avengers 2 as well, so.
Man, I heard this. I know at least he's helping out with the whole Mark Ruffalo Hulk motion capture thing, but apparently he's playing a character too.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see.
Vision, maybe? So you may think. No, so you may think. Ultron, maybe? No, I'm fine. Groot, maybe? No, I'm fine. I'm just throwing some names out there, Cody. You just gotta, believe. Daredevil, when he goes blind, you never know. Cody's like, what the fuck? That ain't even motion capture. The ghost of Elektra, you know. Well, people, that's been... Well, people, that's been Movie Spoilers 118, sponsored by Fandango, of course. I'm the phenomenal one. And we will catch you people next week when Skype isn't fucking up like it is right now.
Yes. Damn it. Yeah. Skype.
Yeah, you suck, Skype. Later, bastards.
Later, you beautiful bastards. Something.